So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 22, text number 4 and 5. Krishna steals the gopi's garments. Vastrahana Leela. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Evam Masam Vratam Charu Kumarya, Krishna, Chetasa, Bhadrakalim, Samannachur, Bhuyan, Nanda, Sutha, Pati, Evam Masamratam Sharu, Kumarya,
Krishna, Chetasa,
Adra Kalim Samannachur Uyananda Sutapati
Evam
Asambratam Cheru Umaraya
Krishna Chetasa
Adra Kalim Samannachur Uyananda Sutapati
Evam
Asambratam Charu Umaraya
Krishna Chetasa
Bhadra Kalim Samannachur
Uyananda Sutapati
Evam Asambratam
Cheru
Umaraya Krishna Chetasa
Adhakali Samanachur
Uyananda Sutapati
Evam
Asambratam Cheru
Maraya
Krishna Chetasa
Bhadra
Kalim Samannachur
Uyananda
Sutapati Evam
Asambratam
Cheru
Maraya
Krishna Chetasa
Bhadra
Kalim Samanachur
Uyananda Sutapati
Evam Asambratam
Cheru
Umaraya Krishna Chetasa
Bhadra
Kalim Samanachur
Evam Asambratam
Cheru
Umaraya Krishna Chetasa
Bhadra Kalim Samannachur
Uyananda Sutapati
Evam.
In this manner.
Masham.
An entire month.
Vratam.
Their vow.
Charu.
They executed.
Kumaraya.
The girls.
Krishna Chetasha.
Their minds absorbed in Krishna.
Madhura Kalim.
The goddess Katyayani.
Shamanarchu.
They properly worship.
Bhuyat.
May he become.
Nandasutha.
The son of King Nanda.
Pati.
My husband.
Translation and purports by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Gopi Pranadana and Hitaya Nanda Goswami and the other translators of the temple. But mostly actually this is they're taken from Krishna book. Actually everything is from Krishna book. So it's mostly Prabhupada's words.
Each of the young unmarried girls performed her worship while chanting the following mantra.
O goddess Katyayani, O great potency of the Lord, O possessor of great mystic power and mighty controller of all, please make the son of Nanda Maharaj my husband. I offer my obeisances unto you.
Thus for an entire month the girls carried out their vow and properly worshipped the goddess Bhadrakali, fully absorbing their minds in Krishna and meditating upon the following thought. May the son of King Nanda become my husband. According to the various acharyas, the goddess Durga mentioned in this verse is not the illusory energy of Krishna called Maya, but rather the internal potency of the Lord known as Yoga Maya. The distinction between the internal and the external, or the illusory potency of the Lord, is described in the Narad Pancharatra in a conversation between Shruti and Vidya. And it's giving the four verses here. Translation is, the Lord's inferior potency, known as Durga, is dedicated to his loving service. Being the Lord's potency, this inferior energy is none different from him. There is another superior potency whose form is on the same spiritual level as that of God himself. Simply by scientifically understanding this supreme potency, one can immediately achieve the supreme soul of all souls, who is the Lord of all lords. There is no other process to achieve him. That supreme potency of the Lord, known as Gokuleshwari, the goddess of Gokula, her nature is to be completely absorbed in love of God. And through her, one can easily obtain the primeval God, the Lord of all that be. This internal potency of the Lord has a covering potency known as Mahamaya, who rules the material world. In fact, she bewilders the entire universe, and thus everyone in the universe falsely identifies himself with the material body. End of quote. From the above, we can understand that the internal and external, or the superior and inferior potencies of the Supreme Lord, are personified as Yogamaya and Mahamaya, respectively. The name Durga is sometimes used to refer to the internal superior potency, as stated in the Pancharatra. In all mantras used to worship Krishna, the presiding deity is known as Durga. Thus, in the transcendental sound vibration glorifying the worship of the Absolute Truth, Krishna, the presiding deity of the particular mantra or hymn is called Durga. The name Durga therefore refers to that personality who functions as the internal potency of the Lord, and who is thus on the platform of Shuddhasattva, pure transcendental existence. The internal potency is understood to be Krishna's sister, known as Ekanamsha or Shubhadra. This is the Durga who was worshipped by the gopis in Vrindavan. Several acharyas have pointed out that ordinary people are sometimes bewildered and think that the names Mahamaya and Durga refer exclusively to the external potency of the Lord. Even if we hypothetically accept that the gopis were worshipping the external Maya, still there is no fault on their part, since their pastimes of loving Krishna, they were acting as ordinary members of society. Srila Prabhupada comments in this regard, "The Vaishnavas generally do not worship any demigods. Srila Narottam Das Thakur is strictly forbidden all worship of the demigods for anyone who wants to advance in pure devotional service. Yet the gopis, who are beyond compare in their affection for Krishna, were seen to worship Durga. The worship of the demigods are sometimes also mentioned that the gopis also worship the goddess Durga, but we must understand the purpose of the gopis. Generally, people worship the goddess Durga for some material benediction. Here, the gopis could adopt any means to satisfy or serve Krishna, and that was a super excellent characteristic of the gopis. They worship goddess Durga completely for 1 month in order to have Krishna as their husband. Every day they prayed for Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, to become their husband. The conclusion is that a sincere devotee of Krishna will never imagine any material quality to exist in the transcendental gopis, who are the most exalted devotees of the Lord. The only motivation in all their activities was simply to love and satisfy Krishna. And if we foolishly consider their activities to be mundane in any way, it would be impossible for us to understand Krishna consciousness. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakkaya Chakshuram Minatandina Tasmaya Shri Girvinamaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vashari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, today is the beginning of the Katyayani Vrata, which lasts for 1 month, and the gopis observe this Vrata of eating khichdi, boiled khichdi, for 1 month, every day for 1 month, and worshipping the goddess Katyayani, with the intention of having Krishna as their husband. So this pastime is very much often misunderstood. There was even an article in a newspaper, actually a few years ago, about this pastime of Krishna stealing the gopis clothes with some kind of mundane interpretation. And one devotee I know who lives in Calcutta, he said, I wrote to them, you know, telling them the real side of the story of this. I said, you're wasting your time writing to newspapers, you know, they're looking for rasa, they want some tasty thing. They want to hear the philosophical side of it, they want to hear that. That's the purpose of newspapers, they want to churn out something that's interesting for the people. So it's often misunderstood, and they put a material conception without understanding, you know, the nature of Krishna or the nature of the gopis. So there's a long explanation here quoted from the Narada Pancharatra, which is explaining these different potencies of the Lord, which are reflections of the Lord. There, as it's saying here, that There is no difference between Krishna's potencies, his internal potency and external potency. But from Krishna's angle of vision, there's no difference. They're both his potencies. So he can act in any potency, it doesn't bother him, because they're all his potencies, he doesn't make a distinction. But for us, we have to make a distinction. Well, we do make a distinction. But this is Krishna's internal potency. These gopis are manifestations of Krishna's internal potency. Ananda chinmaya rasa pravita bhita bija eva nijaruptaya kalabi goloka eva nivasati akilatma bhuta govindam adipurusham tamaham jagat. So the internal potency, we know as yogamaya, is the primeval potency of the Lord. The essence of that is Srimati Radharani. It's that eternal chit potency, spiritual potency, Krishna's potency that gets everything done, spiritual potency. But it's unlimited potency. Categories of potencies in that in internal potency, of which the Haladini potency is the chief. That means Srimati Radharani is the chief of all the potencies, because Krishna's business is pleasure. So Radharani is that pleasure potency, Haladini potency. So she is considered the chief of all potencies, because that's Krishna's main business. That's the business of all the potencies, is for Krishna's pleasure. So. And the main potency is manifested as Srimati Radharani. So that Brahma verse in Brahma Samhita says that she expands herself. So internal potency is expanding herself, Haladini potency is expanding herself into so many billions and billions of other gopis. What for Krishna's pleasure? To expand Krishna's pleasure more and more. It's her business. So these gopi girls, they're not just taken material bodies in the material world, but the eternal potency, the internal potency of the Lord, which is distinguished by the fact that it can never fall down. We are jiva tattva, tatastha shakti. We can fall down, if we make the wrong choice. But the internal potency never falls. There's never a consideration of it's Krishna's potency that he acts with. So there's never a question of, it's all on the same, as it says, it's on the same, that potency is on the same level, the spiritual level as God. So, an example given that Krishna is interacting with these different potencies. So from, it may look wrong from a moralistic point of view, how Krishna is taking the gopis close, how Krishna is performing the dancing in the night time with other girls. Yesterday it was the ras with other men's wives. But the example is given is that because they're all reflections of Krishna, there is internal potency. They're reflections. And the example is that if a child plays with its reflection in the mirror, what is the harm? You don't criticize a child. He's looking in the mirror and he's doing whatever he's doing and he's making faces. Or maybe he's trying to slap the figure or something. But he's playing, he's just innocently playing. What is the harm? Nobody's going to criticize him. So it's exactly the same when Krishna's enjoying with his potencies, with the gopis, and they're just simply his reflections. And he's just performing his activities to please his devotees. His business is to please his devotees, and his devotees' business is to please him. So we get this these pastimes are unimaginable pastimes, but Krishna is performing to show that, give a glimpse of what his pastimes are like, and he is not conditioned by any law of nature. All laws are his, so he creates laws and he breaks laws. In fact, the law of morality is there for breaking. Krishna breaks that morality. This is the Parikya Rasa. Krishna is famous as performing the Parikya Rasa. So if it's not illegal or unlawful or immoral to dance with others' wives, then so the law is there, it's immoral, it's illegal. It's not done. So Krishna breaks that law. He goes beyond the bounds of ordinary law. He breaks those laws. So he makes the laws because it's great pleasure in breaking them. That's the purpose. He's made them so he can create them. So all these dharmic laws that we get, and we're very serious in this material world, I think they're there because they're a reflection of the spiritual world dharma, which is meant for bringing Krishna pleasure by breaking those, going beyond, transcending the normal laws. So, and it says in this verse, simply by, he's talking about the two different potencies, superior and inferior potencies. Simply by scientifically understanding the supreme potency, one can immediately achieve the supreme soul of all souls, who is the Lord of all lords. There is no other process to achieve him. There is no other process to achieve him than scientifically understanding the supreme potency. One immediately achieve. In other words, this supreme potency is Srimati Radharani. And there's no way to understand Krishna unless you go through Radharani. So she is that supreme potency. Unless you understand her, you're not going to understand Krishna. If you're not going to get her blessings, you're going to never understand Krishna or be able to enter into Krishna's pastimes. So therefore we... Prabhupada says in his prayers to Krishna when he was on the boat, at the end of every refrain, I say unto you emphatically, O brother, until you receive the mercy of Srimati Radharani, you won't know your good fortune. Only when you receive her mercy, you'll know your good fortune. So that's the refrain after every verse Prabhupada is emphasizing again. It's only by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Because Krishna is the property of Srimati Radharani. So we have to go through this potency. We're talking tattva here. Trying to understand, but it says scientifically, it means understand and touch. Now Krishna's potency, his pleasure potency, bhakti mam abhijananti, we understand Krishna's only understood through bhakti or a bhakta. Only my bhakta can understand me. I can only be understood through bhakti. So what is this bhakti? Description is given in the Harinam Sankhamani in other places. It's a portion of Haladini potency and the Chit potency. Now the living entity, we're also Satchitananda, we're Sandini, Shambit and Haladini. This is our constitution because we're a part and parcel of Krishna. Qualitatively we're the same. So we have these qualities, but it mentions that an aspiring devotee he's surrendering to Krishna, but because of our minute size, we cannot appreciate the greatness of Krishna's potency. Our potency, Haladini potency and Chit potency, our potency of cognizance, of knowledge, of awareness, is not powerful enough to reach Krishna. But when it's joined to the Haladini potency, it means in your awakened state, when you understand your spiritual existence, you're conscious of yourself and the spiritual existence. Now when the Haladini potency is added to that, I'm existing, but what is the purpose of my existence? My existence is to bring Krishna pleasure. God is one and he becomes many for his pleasure. So our existence is for Krishna's pleasure. So when we understand that, here it's saying scientifically, and we act in that manner, whatever I do is for Krishna's pleasure, that's my constitutional situation. That means we're taking advantage of the Haladini potency, which is the pleasure potency. We want to bring Krishna pleasures. Now we're purified soul, understanding his constitutional nature. Now he's added to that Haladini to understand Krishna. Even now I'm serving to for the satisfaction of Krishna. But still, because of our minute size and qualities, we're not able to reach Krishna. But Krishna is pleased, or the devotees are pleased by our endeavor. Then they recommend to Krishna the ultimate. Then Krishna sends his Haladini potency and chit potency to meet the individual soul's minute potencies. So then it's achieved. The finite cannot understand the infinite, the limited cannot understand the unlimited. But if the unlimited wants to make himself known to the limited, that he can do that. If the infinite wants to make him known to the finite, he can do that as his prerogative. But the finite cannot understand the infinite. The limited cannot understand the limited. So it's like that. But because of the bhakti there, we're using that Haladini potency. We want to serve Krishna. We want to please Krishna. The intention is there. Then Krishna is attracted. Then he sends his unlimited, his infinite potency of Haladini and Chit. Then that contacts the jiva. Then sambandha begins. So that's your sambandha. So then the actual bhakti begins at that point. There has to be a relationship, otherwise how can begin? Bhakti means I love you, you love me. So they have to have a sambandha, a relationship. So that potency is coming from Krishna. He bestows his Haladini potency. At that time the living entity becomes very attractive to Krishna because Krishna is attracted to the Haladini potency. That's his business. That's his pleasure potency. So naturally he's attracted to it. So then one enters into relationship with Krishna. Krishna's attracted. So he enters, he allows that relationship to exist. He's in a loving relationship. But technically or scientifically, he says, what's actually happening? Krishna is contacting the Haladini potency. That's where he's getting his pleasure from. In other words, Krishna is just contacting Radharani. So, you millions of devotees, they all have a loving exchange with Krishna, but if we talk it in touch, and it's all just me and my bhakti to Krishna in my particular relationship. But in tattva, what's actually happening, Krishna is just enjoying the Haladini potency of every different living, all the different devotees who are serving me in different ways. So it's the Haladini potency that Krishna's attracted to, and that is Srimati Radharani. So in other words, there's nothing in existence but Krishna enjoying Radharani. So it's there in the spiritual, it comes down, it manifests wherever it is. This is what's happening. Krishna is enjoying Srimati Radharani. So it's as if we fully understand this scientifically, then we can understand Krishna. And there's no other way to do it. So no other way means only by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. There's no other way. That's it. So this is the potency we are dealing with. That supreme potency of Krishna, who reflects in this material world as the Mahamaya. Just like in the Brahma Samhita, we find that verse, Chaiva Durga, that I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who's potency, known as Durga, is reflected in the material world, is it? So she's the shadow energy. Mahamaya is the shadow energy of the Yogamaya potency. So Yogamaya reflects, shadow reflects into the material world. Roma Devi, in the beginning of creation, Roma Devi carries the glance of Krishna. So she reflects, she's the goddess of fortune, Yogamaya Devi. She's carrying the glance of Krishna. So she, her reflection, her shadow, reflects into the material cosmos as Durga. So they're actually the same person. There's no difference because one is the shadow and one is the reality. Because it says here that The Lord's inferior potency, known as Durga, is dedicated to his loving service. He's engaged in his service also. Being the Lord's potency, the inferior energy is non-different from him. Even the inferior energy is non-different than Krishna. Because for him, it's his potency. I've got my internal or superior potency, I've got my inferior potency. But for me, they're both my potencies. They're non-different than me. Just like the heat and light are coming from the sun. You cannot separate them. So you cannot separate God from his energies. Otherwise, there's no meaning to God. If you take God alone, it's Mayavada, practically. If you take God away from his energies, there's no meaning to God. You take the sunlight and the heat from the sun, there's no meaning to that sun. We can't see it because there's no light. And we can't feel it because there's no heat. Then what is the meaning of sun? So without the energies, the sun is useless. Without energies, God is useless. It's all alone. But he has these different potencies. So he expands and they're non-different from him. You cannot separate the energy from the energetic. So, this is also Shrimantini Devi and Shrimantadvipa, that Leela pastime there, Mahaprabhu appeared. Parvati Devi came after hearing the glories of Gauranga. Lord Shiva was chanting the names of Gauranga. And she was so captivated that, what, this name of Gauranga, I've never heard it before, but it must be a name of Krishna, it must be. Because when you're chanting this Gauranga, Gauranga, I'm feeling ecstasy like when you chant Krishna's name, I'm feeling that same ecstasy. But I've never heard this Gauranga. What is this strange name, Gauranga? But he explains how Krishna comes in Kali Yuga to Navadvipa and gives his prem freely to everyone. So he advises, you better get down there quick if you want some. So she immediately came to Shrimantadvipa, where the Jagannath temple is. And then she's meditating on Gauranga. And then Gauranga actually, the form she's meditating on, she opens her eyes and she sees Gauranga is coming with his devotees. With a beautiful, long black curling hair. He's drenched with love of Godhead. He's staggering, you know, with all the devotees performing kirtan. He sees Devi. Oh, his mother, why you are crying? And she says, listen to my fate. You have come to this, in this world, you're giving prem to everyone. You're Mahabhanamaya. You're giving Krishna prem to everyone and everyone. But I am Maya Devi. I'm the shadow energy. I'm your backside. The shadow is always behind. So I'm the shadow. I cannot stand in front of you because I'm the shadow energy. So what is my fate? Everyone's going to get your mercy, but I'm going to be bereft of your mercy because I'm your shadow behind everything. So then Mahaprabhu said to her, Parvati Devi, the mistress of the material world, he said, from my angle of vision, I see you are non-different than Srimati Radharani. This was Mahaprabhu's vision, Krishna's vision. You are non-different than Radharani, from my angle of vision. Because you are my internal potency. Without your help, how can I perform my pastimes? You're there in Vrindavan as Yogamaya. You're arranging all the different pastimes. So, in other words, he gave her self-realization. She understood her real identity as Yogamaya Devi. So now she stays there in that form of Shrimantini, meditating and chanting the holy names of Gauranga. So anyway, that Gauranga revealed that from his angle, he saw her as non-different. The potency was non-different than his internal potencies. So he starts talking about the in all mantras used to worship Krishna, the presiding deity is known as Durga. So all mantras and hymns have a presiding deity. They have a rishi or the sage who made the mantra, and you have a presiding deity and you have a meter. So generally it's given before you read the Vedic slokas and hymns. They will tell you what the meter is, who the sage is, who compiled it,
who the presiding deity is. So here it's saying that the presiding deity of all Krishna mantras is Garuda. Thus in the transcendental sound vibrations glorifying or worshipping the absolute Krishna, the presiding deity of the particular mantra or hymn is called Durga. The name Durga therefore refers to that personality who functions as the internal potency of the Lord, and who is thus able to perform, who is thus on the platform of the Shuddha Sattva for pure transcendental existence. That potency is also known as Ekanamsara or Shubhadra. So, just as that verse in Brahma Samhita talking about Durga, that's a spiritual Durga, who's in the spiritual. Her reflection is the Durga of the material world. But the hymn in Brahma Samhita describing that, as describing the spiritual Durga. The internal potency. So she is the presiding deity of all the Krishna mantras. The internal potency, just like in the Gayatri Mantra, the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri. Gaya means to reveal. Tri means three Vedas, or that which reveals the essence of the three Vedas. What is the essence of the three Vedas? What is to be known throughout the Vedas? Who is the compiler of the Vedas, the knower of the Vedas? So it's Krishna. So Gayatri, that reveals the essence of the three Vedas, and that is Krishna, he is the knower. So it's a feminine energy, Gayatri, also known as Savitri, Saraswati. So when you, in connection with spiritual mantras, then this internal potency, this goddess Durga or Savitri, Savitri is the female counterpart of Savitur that you chant in that mantra. So these are female potencies that reveal the Lord, or energies, the energy of the Lord that reveals the Lord. So Gayatri is a verse of energy, Gayatri Devi. See, the internal potency, feminine potency, that reveals the Savitur, the Lord. So it's a feminine potency that reveals. So when we're chanting these mantras, we're invoking the blessings of the internal potency, the feminine potency, to reveal the Supreme Lord. So just that we're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Who is Hare? Hare Ram. So first we're approaching Hare. Oh, energy of the Lord, Prabhupada. Oh, energy of the Lord, please engage me in the service of the Lord. Because you can do that. So, yeah, Hare Krishna, we first approach, as Prabhupada said, first we approach the internal potency. Please engage us in the service of Krishna. Please engage us in the service of Prabhupada. So this is the procedure. Therefore, as it's stated here, without understanding that mercy of the internal potency, there's no other way. There's no other way except through understanding and going through that. In other words, nobody can approach Krishna directly. We have to go through his different potencies. So, anyway, this is the potency that we're dealing with. It's the supreme transcendental potency. In the material world, everybody's bound up, hands and foot. Even the people who are criticizing Krishna and his activities of stealing cloth, of dancing with other men's wives, the potency that they have to even to speak or even to think about that is given to them by the Supreme Lord and his energy. They can't even criticize without using this feminine potency. They can't use the energies of God in a critical way without the blessings of the internal potency. And they're criticizing this in Krishna's immoral. So everything is moving under Krishna's potency. The whole material world is bound up like a walnut. Bhagavatam says, nice description. You open a walnut, you see how that
membrane has tightly got that walnut, it's not loose, it's tight. Like that. Tightly bound up. Mahaprabhu, you like that. You don't ever talk tattva. My devotees, you don't ever talk tattva. You know the material universe is coming and going like this, and the energies are coming. You never speak about these things. So it's like that. Tightly bound up. Well, what can you do about it? I was looking at the Vedic planetarium. Yeah, there is this one universe. hanging this chandelier that Prabhupada bonded with you. Garbhadakshai Vishnu and all the planetary systems. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? It's just so vast, you just can't... It's way beyond our comprehension. This is only one universe, you know, we're looking at. And Krishna's poems are, you know, it's spread everywhere. And so, as it says here, foolish people, they will simply criticize, not understanding the real nature of Krishna's potency. So, I read some of this story, it's almost the same as Krishna. So each day, the gopis rose at dawn, calling one another by name. They all held hands and loudly sang the glories of Krishna while going to the Kalindi, Jamuna, to take their bath. One day they came to the riverbank, putting aside their clothing as they had done before, happily played in the water, while singing the glories of Krishna. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, master of the mystic yogas, was aware that the gopis were doing, and he went there surrounded by his young companions, and awarded the gopis the perfection of their endeavor. It says that there was little toddlers who were with him. They were naked also, they couldn't even distinguish between man and woman, so there was no rasa bus there. Krishna was with his friends, that they were little tiny ones. He said that when he left in the village in the morning, they couldn't leave Krishna, so they were following him all the way into the forest. And when he went to the Jamuna, they followed him. But anyway, little toddlers. So it wasn't the older boy. Anyway, then Krishna, taking the girl's garments, he quickly climbed on top of a kadamba tree. And then he laughed loudly, and his companions also laughed. And then he addressed the girls jokingly. He said, "My dear girls, you may each come and take back your garments. I'm telling you the truth, I'm not joking with you, since I see your fatigue from executing your vows. I've never before spoken a lie, and these boys know it also. Therefore, girls, come forward, either one by one or all together, and pick out your clothes." Seeing how Krishna was joking with them, the gopis became fully immersed in love for him, and they glanced at one another. They began to laugh and joke among themselves, even in their embarrassment. But still they did not come out of the water. Krishna Chakravarti's commentary said the gopis were from most respectful families, and they might have argued with Krishna, "Why don't you simply leave our clothes on the bank of the river and go away?" And Krishna Madhu replied, "But there are so many of you that some of you girls may take clothes belonging to another." The gopis said, "We are honest, we'll never steal anything, we will never touch anyone's property." And Krishna said, "Well, if that's true, then simply come and get your clothes. What's your difficulty?" When the gopis saw Krishna's determination, they were filled with loving ecstasy. Although they're embarrassed, they were overjoyed to receive such attention from Krishna. And he was joking with them as if they were his wives or girlfriends. And the gopis' only desire was to achieve such a relationship with him. At the same time, they were embarrassed to be seen naked by him, but still they could not help laughing at his joking, and even began to joke among themselves. And one gopi was urging another, "Go on and you go on first, and let's see if Krishna plays tricks on you. Then we'll go later." As Govinda spoke to the gopis this way, his joking words completely captivated their mind. Submerged up to the necks in the cold water, they began to shiver and addressed him as follows. Krishna said, "If you do not come here and get your garments, then I will make a swing and a hammock, and I need to lie down since I've been spent the whole night awake And I'm becoming sleepy, so I'll make a hammock from all your saris and I'll sleep here. Gopi said, dear cowboy, dear cowherd boy, your cows are greedy for grass and have gone into a cave. So you must quickly go there and herd them back to the proper path. Krishna said, my dear cowherd girls, you must quickly come from here to Raja and perform your household duties. Don't become a disturbance to your parents and other elders. The gopis said, Krishna, we will not go home for an entire month, for it's by the order of our parents and the elders that we are executing this vow of fasting, the Katyayani Vrata. Krishna said, my dear austere ladies, I too, by the strength of seeing you, have developed a surprising mood of detachment from family life. I wish to stay here for a month also and execute the vow of dwelling in the clouds. And if you show your mercy to me, I can come down from here and observe the vow of fasting in your company. The gopis were completely captivated by Krishna's joking words, but out of shyness, they submerged themselves in the water up to their necks, and shaking from cold, they addressed Krishna as follows. Dear Krishna, don't be unfair. We know you are the respectful son of Nanda Maharaj, and you are honored by everyone in Braja. You are also very dear to us. So please give us back our clothes, because we are shivering in the water. O Shamashunda, we are your maidservants, and we must do whatever you say, but give us back our clothing. You know what the religious principles are, and if you don't give us our clothes, we will have to tell the king. Krishna said, if you girls are actually my maidservants, and if you will actually really do what I say, then I say, come here with your innocent smiles, and let each girl pick out her clothes. If you don't do what I say, I won't give them back to you. And even if the king becomes angry, what can he do? Then, shivering from painful cold, all the young girls rose out of the water, trying to cover themselves with their hands. When the Lord saw how the gopis were struck with embarrassment, he was satisfied by their pure loving affection. Putting their clothes on his shoulders, the Lord smiled and spoke to them as follows. You girls bathe naked while executing your vow. There's certainly an offense against the demigods. To counteract this sin, you should offer obeisances while placing your joined palms above your head. Then you can take back your garments. The young girls of Vrindavan considered what Lord Achyuta had told them, and they accepted that they had suffered a fall down from having their vow, had a fall down from their vow by bathing naked in the river. But still they desired to successfully complete their vow. And since Lord Krishna is himself the ultimate result of all pious activities, they offered their obeisances to Krishna, to him, to cleanse away all of their sins. Nothing can compare to the Krishna consciousness of the gopis. Actually, the gopis did not care for Varuna or any of the demigods. They only wanted to satisfy Krishna. Seeing them bow down like that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, gave them back their garments, feeling compassionate towards them and satisfied by their act. Although the gopis had been thoroughly cheated, deprived of their modesty, ridiculed, and made to act just like toy dolls, and although their clothing had been stolen, they did not feel at all inimical towards Krishna, but rather they were simply joyful to have this opportunity to associate with their beloved Lord. And Prabhupada said, Mahaprabhu has made this same prayer when he says, Krishna, you may embrace me, or you may trample me under your feet. You may do whatever, or you may make me brokenhearted by never being present before me. But whatever you like, you can do, because you have complete freedom to act. But in spite of all your dealings, you are my Lord eternally. I have no other worshipful object. This is the attitude of the gopis towards Krishna. So the gopis were addicted to associating with their beloved Krishna, and thus they became captivated by him. Thus, even after putting on their clothes, they did not move. They simply remained there, shyly glancing at him. The Supreme Lord understood the determination of the gopis in executing their strict vow. The Lord also knew that the girls desired to touch his lotus feet, and thus Lord Damodar Krishna spoke to them as follows. O saintly girls, I understand your real motive in this austerity has been to worship me. That intent of yours is approved by me. Indeed, it must come to pass. The desire of those who fix their minds on me does not lead to material desires or for sense gratification. Just as barleycorns burned in the sun and then cooked can no longer grow into new sprouts. Go now, girls, and return to Braja. Your desire is fulfilled, for in my company you will enjoy in the coming nights. After all, this was the purpose of your vow in worshipping the goddess Katyayani, O pure-hearted ones. Thus, instructed by the Supreme Personality of God, the young girls, their desires now fulfilled, could bring themselves, only with great difficulty, to return to the village of Braja, meditating all the while upon Krishna's lotus feet. Shivastraharana Bodhshab ki jai, Katyayana Rati ki jai. So this is showing the pure unmotivated love of the gopis. This is the standard of devotion. Prabhupada said, they sacrificed everything for Krishna. This is the standard we have to come to. Prabhupada said, Arjuna, he was faced with a decision to kill his own family members. But he did it. Prabhupada said, this is the standard of bhakti. Because Krishna asked him to kill his family members, he did it. So we should be prepared to kill our own family members. If Krishna asks, that is the standard of bhakti. So we see the standard here of the gopis. The proof they were the greatest of all the devotees. So the stories we are getting is not a mundane thing, but it shows us the highest degree of love that Krishna's devotees can achieve from them. And Krishna's reciprocating with their loving effort. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Said the young gopis, Radharani didn't go, and the other people, they didn't really want to marry Krishna. We know that the enjoyer of the Parikiraj, so if they'd married him, they wouldn't stop yet. So. But these young girls, they wanted exactly these funny Krishna's now. But they invited Radharani and the elderly gopis on the last day of the Vrata. They invited Radharani because they were elderly, the elderly, to come. Some of the other gopi friends, come with us, we're completing our vow, please come with us and bless us. So they were there at that time, actually, when Krishna stole the clothes, but they didn't actually perform that month on the Vrata. They want to be buried here. First in the Rukmini inscription was the Shakyabamba. Sorry, everybody. Chief Gopi. But we see the difference between the queens of Gopi and the Gopi. Rukmini. Krishna's teasing. Father.
comes to with the wives of other people. If Krishna gets very pleasure by oh, we don't mind being married, we don't mind. Krishna can enjoy his pastime.
Just like you can only approach Gauranga through Nityananda, so is it also true you can only approach Radharani through Balaram?
Yeah, in terms of that, yes. Because Balaram is a Vishnu Vishakha platform. So one must run to the spiritual platform first.
Also in Krishna's path when he's talking with the gopis, they also some of them are messengers, so they know what's going on, the ones Krishna's age, so they're assisting in that pastime knowingly. They're arranging pastime like Shubal Shakavesh. Shubal knew what was happening, so he changed dresses with the Radharani so she can go and see Krishna. So they know what's happening, but the others, they may not be so aware of it, of what's happening, but this is the medium. All the young cowboys, Krishna's friends, that through that leela of Goshanath, they're all going out with the cows and everything, with all the young boys, they're all herding cows and playing like it's Shakiras, it's becoming fully manifested then. But this is the medium to get Krishna away from the village so he can meet the gopis. They're in the village. So they get away from everyone, they go out in the jungles. Then they can send some messages and meet somewhere. There's no... The elders are not around. So it's like a medium to get them out of the village. So they're assisting in that way rather than Krishna's pastimes. Even the cowboys were not really aware of
so much aware of what's happening, but still they're assisting in the arranging for Radha and Krishna's meetings through this medium of going out with the calves. So everyone is serving Radha and Krishna. Mother Jasoda and the elderly gopis, they're also serving because in their presence, then obviously Radha and Krishna can't disclose, they have to be very discreet. So nobody understands what's happening. And they can't, they're longing to be together, but they can't be together. So that's all they ever want to do is to be together. But they can't because of the elderly people there. Purnamasi is telling Vrindadevi. Yeah, these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Parakiras. And due to the fear of the elders, this is called such a wonderful, it's created such a festival of great bliss and ecstasy. Because he's feeling, they're feeling fear that I can't be seen. So, they're helping, the elderly people are helping in Vipralamba. They're in a separation, they can't be together, so they're in separation. So this is also serving Radha and Krishna by being elders, they're serving Radha and Krishna by their presence. So not letting Radha and Krishna come together, which is all they want to do. So Krishna's so amazing, that's all he wants to do, and it can happen, but he doesn't. If we were God, we would have the best thing, 24/7, right? We'd be spraying all the time, and whatever I like, it would be. Krishna's not like that. It's always so many varieties of bhakti. Bhakti rasa means an ocean of bhakti. It's not just one plain thing. It's always up and down. So Krishna's enjoying shakarati, he's enjoying vasharati. But most of all, he enjoys his vertical relationship. So this is the picture of Vrindavan. Radha and Krishna are being united, and then they're being separated. This is all that's happening in Vrindavan. They're being united and separated. And all these different devotees there, they're all assisting in some way or another in the union or the separation. Krishna has to be home, it's getting a bit late, and now we have to get back. So he has to be Radharani and Radha from midday time, they have to go back to the cows. So it's breaking up that, then there's separation. So the different activities are causing separation, and then again they're going to meet at night, so the messengers, and where they're going to meet, where they're going to meet, slowly brings them together again. Then again they have to be separated. So this is the picture of Vrindavan. What's that saying? But anyway, the example is like poets, poetry, love poetry. You never get a love story of a husband and wife. It doesn't exist. You only get a love story when there's a separation. Something separate, Romeo and Juliet. There's something stopping them coming together. It's increasing their love. Like, when the wife is there, the husband is there. So when there is an obstacle in between, then it heightens, it really heightens, so much so that they jump off the bridge. Yeah, it gets so intense. So Krishna's enjoying this intensity of separation. And all the other rasas are assisting this. So it's nothing but pleasure for Krishna, different tastes. But if it's not, it doesn't stay there. Again, it has to end, and again, another one.
What was the
44 meaning from? Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Stealing the art garments for the Americans. You mean in a lamentation here in Srimad-Bhagavatam? Try to reveal the Haridas. Yeah. Is there a connection? Yes, well, there she put on her material form. She manifests her material side, test Haridas. She knew she was doing it. But she wanted to test that, the steadiness of Haridas Thakur. So she actually threw everything she had at it. He wasn't moved. She was seeing how strong it was. So she got in there. Oh, I see. You mean after that instant, Haridas told you, do you sit down here and chant Hare Krishna? Okay. Oh, it's a similar thing. It's a similar thing. It's similar. She sits here in Srimad-Bhagavatam, chanting and meditating on her. And she sits in the Venerable. She was chanting and holy names of Pandit Tulsi. Then they become Yoga Maya again. But the bewilderment was actually, she was showing the Mahamaya feature. But then she became Yoga Maya, but then she got initiating. Yeah, simple. Yeah, it depends on your angle of vision. First of all, we see this material world as a place of enjoyment. A little bit of knowledge, you see it's Maya. And a little bit more knowledge, you see, oh, it's Krishna's energy. And then the next, you see Krishna. The gopis see Krishna. They see a black tamal tree, Krishna. That's the extent of their devotion for Krishna. They see, you see Krishna everywhere. The further away you see Krishna. My enjoyment, completely the opposite side, we do what's my enjoyment. And it's Maya, it's scary. But then no, it's Krishna's energy. Then it is Krishna. So according to our tradition and understanding of it, we can also have that revelation. How we view this energy. We may view it as an object of enjoyment, as Krishna's Maya. As being connected to Krishna is often, or actually see Krishna in it. Well, this is third of business. She wants us to advance the spiritual life. Oh, because she has a thankless task. She wants us to advance the spiritual life. So when Brahma Samhita, that purport to that verse, although she's keeping everybody bound up, like under Krishna's instruction in the material world. When a person becomes a devotee, she's so happy with that person that she actually gives him her blessings and she actually clears the path through the universe. She's the mother of the universe. So there's different devatas which control the material body and every point of your body is controlled by an angel. Every point. 33 crores. So the mother is the earth and she gives orders. This person alone is a great devotee. But she actually clears the path for the devotees. If you see it like that, if you're going to pray for someone to feel benediction, then she's just going to keep us bound up in the material world. But for devotees, she's very, very happy. Ah.